Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Romans, the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. Do we need a little more volume back there? We need a little more. Let's give it a little more volume. I ain't saying anything, am I, David? Okay, how's that? Is that better? Is that doing it? Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Romans, the sixth chapter. Let's start reading at verse number 1. And let's stand for reverence to the reading of God's word. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank you for the precious book, the Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, we come to you again today asking you, Lord, for your help, your presence, your power, your wisdom today. And Lord, we just need you. And Lord, it would please us if, Lord, if only you were honored today and glorified today, Lord, there'd be great things accomplished. And we ask you for that. We ask you, God, to honor yourself through your word today. Once again, thank you for those who come to hear the Bible preached this morning. And Lord, we certainly do need you in these services. It may be, Lord, there's somebody here, maybe more than one, Lord, that's unsaved. They've never known Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We certainly pray for them that this would be the day that they're born again into God's family. Pray also, Lord, for we as God's children. Father, we need you. We need your power. We need your wisdom. We need everything from you. We need you to stir our hearts today, Lord, and help us to be more like you. Once again, we ask you that you would honor yourself, help this preacher, give him what he needs, Lord, today. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go over to the book of Revelation just for a moment. I'm going to read you one verse of scripture from the first chapter of the book of Revelation. I'm going to read you verse number 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness." I don't think anybody here knows anything about the Bible will not understand that Jesus is the true witness. He's the true prophet. You know, there's three anointed positions and offices in the Bible mentioned. He talks about the prophet, he talks about the priest, and he talks about the king. Jesus is the true prophet. There's been many prophets, but the Bible says he is the faithful witness. He also says, "And the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth." The Bible is telling us, of course, you know, a prophet came to the people from God. And he certainly did do that. He came from God to the people to tell us and to show us God himself. And he was God himself. And then we also know that a priest would go to God for the people. And certainly Jesus interceded for us. He even went to the cross and paid the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I could have eternal life. We know that there's coming a day when he's going to be not just a king, but the King of Kings. And we know for sure that that day is coming because the Bible says it is. He's the King of Kings. He's coming again. He'll set up his reign upon this earth. But I guess what I want out of that verse of scripture more than anything for you to hear is, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ loved us. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, it's hard to fathom sometimes the love of God, to imagine that he loves me. That he loves me. No, just not love a world, but he loves me. And as I said to them, I'll say to you, he loves you individually. You've got to understand that it's not just a group thing. He loves you individually. And he shed his blood that your sins would be washed away so you could have eternal life and be with him forever. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. We'll preach about the cross this morning. I'm not going to talk about the blood so much, but I'm going to talk about the cross where he was crucified and we were crucified with him. Amen. It's a marvelous, wonderful, wonderful story. Back in the book of Romans, if you understand, there's two aspects here showing us in the book of Romans concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you in chapter 4, just real quickly, chapter 4, verse number 25. He says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was raised for our justification, the forgiveness of sin, that we were justified and made the Son of God. It's a marvelous thing that God did for us. And that part of the resurrection was that he was raised again so that me and you could be justified and made clean. And that we would forever be clean and washed our sins washed away, that we might be right with God and spend an eternity with him. And then over in chapter 6 in verse number 4, he says, and we read this, but therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not only was he raised from the dead for our justification, but he was raised from the dead so that we might walk in newness of life. You know, when you talk about the Bible here, the Word of God, and you talk about him being raised for our justification, he's talking about our standing with him. Our standing with him now is we're children of God. We are his. That's our standing. It's like there's Jerry and there's David's right over here, and there's Bob back here, and there's Lori over here. They're standing with me and Donna is they are our children. And when God talks about us being his child, that's our standing. Nothing can change that. Once you've been born again into God's family, nothing can change that. You are justified. You're made one of his children, and absolutely nothing can change that. Now, in chapter 6, verse number 4, he talks about raised that we might walk in newness of life. That's talking about our state as a child of God. I might say to you, my children, we'll use them as an example. As they grew up, there was a few times when their state wasn't too good. I mean, their standing was all right. They was our children, but their state as a child was not always too good. I'll mention a few of those things. You've got a lot to look forward to today, my children. But their state was not always the best. That means, how are we living for God? How are we walking in newness of life with God? That has nothing to do with our standing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're born again, you're God's child, that's your standing. But how about your state? What kind of condition are you in as a child of God? If you notice over in chapter 5, verse number 1 of Romans, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in this, he talks about we have peace with God. That happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There becomes a peace between us and God. Nothing can change that. Nothing can absolutely ever change that. We have peace with God. Why? It's through Jesus Christ. And he is unchangeable. So the peace that we have in him or with God through Christ is absolutely, it's like our standing. It can never change. Peace has been made on the cross of Christ. When he died there shedding his blood, peace with God was made. One man illustrated that is there on the cross. Jesus Christ took the hand of God and the hand of man and joined them back together again. Peace with God, you see, is a wonderful thing that can never be changed once you're born again into God's family. Never, ever, ever be changed. But I want to show you another kind of peace. I want you to go over to the book of Philippians, please, with me to the 4th chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians, the 4th chapter, and I want to start reading in verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We'll come back to that in a moment, but let us read verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Here he's not talking about peace with God, which never changes. That was made through Jesus Christ. He's talking about here a peace that calls it the peace of God, which is a peace which is determined on our doing. Because God just talked about those things and said, now do those. The peace of God is determined upon our doing, or otherwise our state, our condition as a Christian. Thank God the peace with God can never change. But the peace of God, a lot of people want to know why they do not have a lot of peace of God in their life. And a lot of that is determined by our doing. How are we living? How are we walking with God? As I told you earlier, we talked about the resurrection, and of course, the first was justification, but the second part of the resurrection was due to our walk with God, that we might walk with him in newness of life. So what he's telling us simply is this, folks. We need to not only have peace with God, which is found when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And let me just stop and say this. That's not just joining a church. You know that. That's not just getting baptized. That's not just trying to be a good guy. No, that's not. That's mean truly born again. truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and am trusting in him completely and fully for salvation. That can never be changed. Amen. But God on the cross of Calvary, when he died on the cross, also died that we might live right. That we might walk in newness of life. And that's where we talk about the peace of God. A lot of people don't have the peace of God. They may have the peace with God, but they don't have the peace of God. And the reason they don't is because of their doing. Understand? God wants you to have peace with him, and God wants you to have peace of God in your life. Amen? The blood deals with sins. The blood of Christ washes away our sin. Amen? You see, and the cross deals with the sinner. In other words, he is to be crucified with Christ. You hear me? See, we're to die. We're to be crucified. Yes, the blood has washed away our sins, but we also are to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man has to go to have peace of God. So Jesus dying on the cross certainly died that we might walk in newness of life also. Amen? So I think, first of all, what we need to understand is we need to understand the fact about why we are called sinners. Okay? I want to help you with this, all right? You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. Boy, you need to get a hold of that. You say, well, I sin, so I'm a sinner. No. You sin because you're a sinner. Every single individual is a sinner. That's why you can't do right. That's why you and I mess up. That's why we needed the Savior. You see, we needed him to forgive us and cleanse us and wash away our sins. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, I sin, you know, and that makes me an old sinner. No, you was a sinner before you sinned. You was born into it. And so was I. Amen. See, if in Romans 5:12, let's go back to Romans, the fifth chapter. Let me show you what the Word of God says about that. Verse number 12 of chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, because of Adam's sin, it passed upon you. Adam died because of his sin. It passed upon you. It passed upon me. It don't make any difference how good you try to be. You are a sinner. And you sin because you are a sinner. You can't change that. Look at verse number 18 and 19. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The Bible says because, and it's talking about Adam's sin, because of that brought condemnation to us. Why? It was passed down through the bloodline. You can't change it. But thank God, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And that came through Jesus Christ. Okay? And it's important we understand it, because people talk about good sinners and bad sinners and moral sinners and corrupt sinners and all kinds of different kinds of sinners. But we're all sinners. Some may manifest those sins more than other ones, but let me say to you, we're all sinners. Amen. Amen. You know, I've used this illustration a lot of times, we raised four children, Don and I, and we never did, I mean absolutely never did, try to teach them how to do bad. That came with the package. No, I mean, you say, Brother Ross, did you teach that son of yours after you had planted a tree? It was just a little tree. I mean, just a little thing. And he was out there swinging around on it. I mean, just as a little fellow going around and around in a circle until he broke it. Did I teach him to do that? No, it was programmed in him already. What I'm saying to you folks, you don't have to teach people how to do bad things. It comes because of that sin nature that's in them. You just got to understand it. I honestly did not tell my son to take a BB gun and shoot through a window. I did not teach him to do that. But he did it. Right. We know the one it wasn't. I did not teach one of my sons how to throw a dart up in the air and let it fall down on the head of another one. I did not teach them that. They learn it all on themselves. Amen. I did not teach one of my children how to take my new car and go down the highway, possibly at a high rate of speed, I don't know, and run into a dog and mess up the whole panel underneath my new car. I didn't do it. I didn't teach him how to do it. But she done it. See, you don't have to teach him these things. They're sinners already. I did not teach my boys and my neighbor boys that lived across the road how to get into my garage, where beside the garage there was an apartment was there, used to be, before they destroyed it. They got up in the ceiling of that apartment and kicked the wallboard through, and all the insulation, blew-in insulation, come down. I never did teach them that. Donna didn't even teach them that. No. I did not teach my boys that you take those beautiful doors that I had just tore down a wonderful out of a house. I mean, it was a beautiful two-story house that me and another fellow had tore down and had beautiful doors in it, and I had them stored out there, and I come home and they took the doors and had made a roof for their cabin. I want to tell you, they were that away when they was delivered to Don and I. They were that away. I'm telling you right now, we didn't teach them those things. In fact, you know, honestly, I kind of got to thinking, maybe when you take these kids to the hospital, maybe they're born with a software disc. I don't know, but maybe the hospital programs that into them. Maybe that happens. I don't know what happens, but somewhere they learn how to sin. You know, we won't go into detail, but you know, my mother and dad thought I had it too. Now, we won't talk about those things because there's no need to. Sake of time. But mom and dad kind of thought I had that too. And the reason was because I did. I'm telling you, it was programmed into them before we got them. And the reason was that they was born in iniquity. Every single one of us was. You hear what this preacher's saying? See, whether you think that you sin, that makes you a sinner. No, you're a sinner, and that's why you sin. We laugh about these things, and I could tell you a lot of other stories too. They're saying, thank God. But what I am saying is, you know, it becomes natural. Little Noah got, Nick was on the treadmill. Just this week, was it, Tanya? a couple weeks ago, he was on the treadmill. Nick was on there, and Noah said, let's turn it up as fast as we can turn it up. They turned it up as fast as they could turn it up, and of course, poor old Nick, he ended up all skinned up and bruised and burnt, and wonder where Noah got that. He isn't here, but I know where they got it. It's inheritance. Amen? Sure it is. It's the bloodline. It's the bloodline. And I guess I want you to understand that I don't care who we are. We're all sinners. See? And what we are must be changed. Okay? What we are must be changed. Now, the problem is this. We think by changing our habits, we can change what we are. You can't do it. You see, we've got to change the source. In verse, I think it's in chapter 5 here, verse 19. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. How in the world can you change this? How can you change this sin that you have in your life? How can you do that? The source has to be changed.
Yes.
See, this old flesh is forever going to be wicked.
Right.
Now, it can be controlled. Don't use that as an excuse. It can be controlled because in Christ we have the power to overcome these things. But what I'm saying, we are absolutely born into sin. We are sinners.
Right.
When we are born. Amen. See, we've got to change our parentage. Stick with me. I was Walter and Lena Ross is my parents. I was born to Walter and Lena Ross. My mother's maiden name was Hedge. I become a Ross because the bloodline of the father. And I became a Ross. Now, I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. There is nothing absolutely ever can change the fact that I am a Ross. Now, my wife, we got married, and her maiden name was Ogle. She now goes by the name of Ross, but she is an Ogle. And I will guarantee she is an Ogle. And she will guarantee I'm a Ross. And by the grace of God, amen, it worked out good. But she can't change the fact that she's an Ogle. That's how she was born. You understand this? See? You got to, if you're going to change, you're going to have to change your parentage. I would have to die, which is impossible, and be born again to be anything else but a Ross. Don't make any difference what your name is. You are who your father and mother were. That's who you are. You can't change that. Don't have to, shouldn't, but you'll never change it. Now, the only way that we can change who we are, born in Adam, sinners, is to get a new parentage. I understand. We must be born again. See, on the cross of Christ, we died. Crucified with him. Hear what I'm saying?
Right.
And then he borned us again into a new family.
Yes.
His family. Oh, I know you still got your flesh. I know that. So do I. We've still got the old flesh. But when you become a Christian, you have become a part of a new family.
Yes.
New parentage. Amen. God is my Father. Amen. Now I'm simply saying to you folks, a lot of folk are trying to go around and change the habits of their life and figure that's going to make them a child of God. You'll split hell wide open. Because it's not a matter of just changing the habits of life. You've got to change the parentage.
Amen.
Amen? Look at Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 15. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Now, in these verses that I'm going to read, you'll hear him over and over talk about the offenses. You'll talk about what it took one man to bring that. That was Adam. And it passed down to everybody. Okay? But then there's a free gift. There's a new lineage, and that comes through Jesus Christ, who now gives us new life.
Amen.
Look at 16. And not as it were by one that sin, so as the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And he says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You know, we could just continue to read that, but folks, listen to me. You've got to understand, you need a new parent. I needed a new parent. I needed a new life out of a new lineage. My old lineage has failed. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner, and you'll never change it by quitting doing some of the things you try to quit doing. That will not change the fact that you're still a sinner. You got to get into a new lineage. You've got to be born again. I want to show you over in 2 Corinthians just for a moment or two there. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You see, the Bible teaches us that Jesus died for all. Amen. Why did he die for all? Because all were dead. That includes you. You're dead. Dead as you can be. So am I without Christ. And then he says in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not in henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now look what he says in verse 17. I'm going to skip to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what he's saying is the old lineage is gone. You are no longer, you have now become a new creature in Christ. It's a marvelous thing. No longer are we, even though I am my Father's son, I'm not in the lineage there anymore as a sinner. I now have accepted Christ and he's my heavenly Father. I'm in Christ and I'm a new creation in Christ. Not, that's in the past. I'm in Christ, okay? I know you see the flesh, and I know the things I do, and the way I look is like my parents, but I'm in a new lineage. And that's what happened when I was born again in 1966. Accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You see, I have new life.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. The old body is here, but I want to tell you, that old soul and that spirit has a new life in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You see, so what Brother Ross, what are you saying? Well, I'm trying to tell you, just for trying to clean up your life and turn over a new leaf is not what you need. I mean, that's good. Anytime a person can do that, we like that, and it's good to do that, and we should do that. But not because we're trying to get right with God with it, but because we are a Christian, we are in Christ, we ought to do that. But now we're in Christ. Amen? And we need to understand that. I don't know your condition here today, but I want to tell you, you need to be born again. No, you need to truly be born again. You need to get into a new lineage, a new parent, which is God. It'll change your whole life. No, you won't become perfect all at once. I understand that, because you've still got your flesh. But you'll be in a new lineage, and now you'll be heading toward God instead against Him. And God wants you to be born again. I'm saying to you, folks, it's the only way that a person is going to get to heaven. You are going to go to hell if you stay in the old lineage of a sinner. You're going to go straight to hell. But you don't have to. You can put your faith and your trust in Christ and Christ alone, and you can become His child. Become the Son of God. I want you to go over in Galatians just for a moment. Galatians, the second chapter. I want to read the 20th verse of Galatians, the second chapter. Here's what Apostle Paul said. He said, I am crucified with Christ. See, on the cross, He was crucified with Him. So were we, if you put your faith and trust in Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live. Yeah, I'm living, He says. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Yes, I live. But no, it's not me that's living. It's that new life in Christ that lives in me.
Yes.
Why do I do different? Because I'm in Christ. Why did I quit the old habits? Because I'm in Christ. Why did I try to do better every day? Because I'm in Christ. He's living in me. Not to be in Christ, but because I am in Christ. Amen. Now look at Galatians, the 5th chapter. Verse 24. He says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You see, if you're in Christ, you was crucified on the cross. And the old way of life, you don't like anymore. You don't like it anymore. In fact, it aggravates you. It aggravates you when you don't, this old body that is not crucified yet doesn't do right. It aggravates you. It does me, and I think it does you too. Why? Because you're in Christ.
Right.
You have a new lineage. Look at chapter 6, verse number 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You see, it's an amazing thing to me in Christianity today. And please understand, this preacher's not talking about perfection. I, above probably anybody, knows that I am not perfect. Come a long way from it. I'm just simply saying to you, I know that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was crucified with Jesus Christ, and I was crucified to the world. And the world was crucified to me. I want to tell you something, folks. I don't want to be out there in the world.
That's right. Amen.
When the world creeps in on me, it bothers me. I hate it. I despise it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, you're crucified. That's why it bothers me at times, because there's so many people walking around still wanting. I'm just not talking about doing a few things that's worldly. I mean, they want to live in the world. That's where they want to be. They love the world. That's not of the Father. See, you need a new parentage. You need to get in a new lineage. And then you'll understand that that old world is your enemy. It's against you. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, I want to ask you a question. Have you truly been to the cross where the blood of Jesus washed away your sin, and through the cross you was crucified with him? Have you been there? Are you truly a child of God? I'm not making you doubt it. I'm not anything. I'm just trying to say, have you by faith come to Christ and you've accepted him as your personal Savior, getting into the new lineage? No longer is you have the old man as your father, but you have a new father.
Yes.
And it's God the Father.
Hey.
You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's not enough to turn over a new leaf. That don't do it. No, no, no. You've got to get born again. You've got to become a child of God. Amen. Now, what I want you to do is I just want you to check your heart. I want you to check out. See where you are. Where are you at? Where are you with God? Have you ever truly been born again into the family of God? Amen. And if so, there was a crucifixion that took place on the cross of Calvary. When he was crucified, so were you.
Yes, amen.
He even tells us to reckon ourselves dead to sin.
Right.
That means consider yourself as dead. Now, we know the body has its problems. We know the body don't want to consider itself dead.
Right.
But he says, reckon yourself dead. Why? Because you was crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So where are you? Are you God's child? Are you born again? Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? That's what you need to know. More than anything else, you might say, Brother Russell, I'm trying to live a good life. Oh, I hope you are. I want you to. I want you to do everything you can to live like God would want you to live. We should do that. But that won't get you to heaven. You must be born again. Please bow your head, please. Close your eyes. I want to ask you a question. Say, Brother Ross, I know without a shadow of doubt. Now, folks, don't fool around with God. God knows the truth. Don't fool around with him. You say, I know for sure. I know for a fact that I'm born again. I know I have a new parentage. I know that. God is my Father. And I know I'm ready for heaven. No doubt about it whatsoever. Would you just raise your hand, please? Say, I know I'm God's child. All right, thank you so much. You say, Brother Ross, I'm just not sure that I've ever been truly born again. I'm not sure. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm just not sure. Would you just raise your hand and say, Brother Ross, pray for me? Just pray for me. Anyone here, say, Brother Ross, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I'm not sure if I died, I'd be ready for heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? And you can put it right back down. Anyone? Father, I thank you again today for your wonderful love. I thank you, Lord, that you did shed your blood, that our sins would be forgiven and washed. And I'm thankful, Father, that as you died upon the cross of Calvary, we was crucified with you there, that we might walk in newness of life. And I pray, Father, we as a people will understand the seriousness of that. That God, not only do we want to rejoice in salvation, but we need to rejoice also in the fact that we can walk with you on a daily basis. And I just pray, Lord, if there's any need here today whatsoever, I pray that you'll be allowed to meet that need. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.